Welcome to another inspirational message from a guest speaker at James River Church. It is our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
I'm excited today to be able to have one of our speakers stay over for Sunday to be with us, Steve Kelly. He and his wife, Sharon, he tore it up yesterday, didn't he? Friday night, along with Eric Mason. You rocked the house, man. It was really awesome. Steve and Sharon, 16 years ago, moved to Virginia Beach, Virginia, and started a church. Really, it took over a remnant from a church. But from that, God has used them to raise up Wave Church, a multi-site congregation with congregations there on the East Coast, even on the West Coast. Steve is a sought-after speaker around the globe internationally. He's got a new book out, The Accent of Leadership, Words Matter. And I'm telling you, that is so true. I encourage you, if you haven't picked up a copy, they're available out in the atrium along with other resources from Steve. And I was glad that he brought the resource because honestly, it will help you. It will build your life. And it's not just leadership for a church arena, though, you know, I mean, that's great. If you're a pastor, if you're somebody who's headed into leadership, get all you can all you get. But this is leadership that'll help you as a business owner. It will help you as a manager. It will help you as a leader in your home. I want to encourage you to pick up a copy of this. Steve did not ask me to do that, but I believe in his ministry. I believe in the things he's teaching, and I'm absolutely thrilled to have him with us today at James River Church. So would you join me in welcoming Steve Kelly all the way from Wave Church to James River. Come on, give it up for Steve.
Come on, James River. Anybody here love God? Anybody here love Jesus? Come on, give it up for Jesus right now. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Now just stay standing for a second. Hang on. Before you sit down, oh, you were ready to sit. Look at you guys. You were ready. I want you to turn to the person next to you. Look them right in the eye and say, seriously, if you were any better looking, I'd kiss you right now. Come on. Give it a shot. See where it happens. And then you can be seated. That was a chance for you young guys. You missed the opportunity if you kind of, hey, it's so good to be here. And I've been talking to my wife, you know, she's back home in Virginia Beach, and we love your pastors. We love them, think they're absolutely amazing. How many thank God for godly leadership? And I know Debbie has a conference here in October. My wife said to me, I want to be at it, and we're going to try to work the dates to be here. And I'm flying in from South Africa. And I said to my wife, if you are going to be at the conference, then having been here, I want you to know I've been to Mecca. Bass Pro is the best Bass Pro I've ever been to in my life. We've got a little tiny Bass Pro, but you got Bass Pro on steroids. I spent 2 hours there and only saw maybe half the store. I could spend 2 weeks there. So if my wife comes, I want you to know, I'm going to be hanging out. You're going to be stuck with me and I'll be in Bass Pro. Praise the Lord. Well, let me see. Who here is over the age of 40? Can I see your hand if you're over? Come on, put your hand in the air. Wave it like you do. There's a lot of you. Let me see your hand again. If you need help to hold that hand up, get someone to help you. There's a lot of it. Who here is under the age of 40? Can I see your hands? All right. Well, yeah, you're louder, but there's about 50-50. Do you know, in churches like ours, churches like this, everywhere I go, it's the same thing. People say to me, man, your church is full of young people. And it is. We have hundreds and thousands of young people in our church. And they go, your church is full of young people. But how many know you don't build buildings like this on the income of just youth? And the truth of the matter is, thank God for the young people. We need them. We need to make room for the generation that's rising. I think they're writing the best songs. I think, you know, they're amazing. And I believe with all my heart, we got to make room for that generation. But I also believe we got to make sure that every generation plays its part. Amen. that you're never too old for God. That matter of fact, you know, I was just thinking about, you know, these young people in our church. And I said to them, I said, tell me, how do we reach you? How did Wave Church reach you? And I thought they would have said it's because of the good looking senior pastor. Why are you laughing? And I thought maybe they would have said because of the music. I thought maybe it was because of the youth ministry. But you know what they said to me? They said, we love Wade Church because when we come to Wade Church, there's a generation of people who have gone on before us, who are still married 30, 40 years later, who are showing us what a godly marriage looks like, who are still serving God in their own right, and they're encouraging us to do great things. And I believe with all my heart that a healthy church is a church where we got to make room for the generation that's rising. But I've come to tell some people here, you're never too old for God to keep you. And young people need your wisdom, your encouragement, your example, and your participation in the house of God. And there's room for everybody. Come on, give a Lord a hand. So, I want to read to you a story in the Bible about a man called Caleb. The Bible says Caleb was a man with a different spirit. It says in Joshua 14, verse 6, now the men of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal. Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said, you know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea about you and I. I was 40 years old. Everybody say 40. Now, if you're not yet 40, by the way, don't worry. Keep living. You will get there. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my brothers who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt with fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day, Moses swore to me, the land which your feet have walked will be an inheritance for that of your children forever because you followed the Lord my God. Now then, just as the Lord has promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses while Israel moved around the desert. Here I am today, 85 years young. Well, I know it says up there old, but age is an attitude. Here I am today, 85 years old. And he goes, the Bible says here, he's kept me alive and the children of Israel wander around the desert. And look at this, I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as willing, just as vigorous, just as able now as the day Moses gave me that promise. Now give me my hill country. I love that. An 85-year-old man who's not thinking about his medication, who's not thinking about his heart is, you know, checking out, just trying to think about how to stay alive. Here he is, full of vision. And he says, I got the strength of a 40-year-old, and I'm just as willing now, just as strong now as when I was 40. And I read that and I say, God, let me be that 85-year-old. God, give us a church of people where every generation and every age is still pushing to believe God for bigger and better things. Come on, someone say amen. 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 He goes, give me the hill country, what the Lord has promised. You yourself heard the Anakites and their cities were large and fortified, but with the Lord helping me, I will drive them out. Man, I love that. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be somebody at the age of 85 that is just mean, sad, bad and mad at a younger generation. I want to make room for the generation that's rising, and I want to make sure that every age and every person sees there's room for you. Sometimes if we're not careful as we get older, we think there's no room for us in the house of God. And we think we just got to step aside and it's a young man, young person's game. But we need everybody in the church. We need every age. We need every generation. Come on, someone say amen. Doing what the Lord's called them to do. Don't sit down. We need you. I've come to tell somebody here today, the kingdom needs your example. The kingdom, young people need your encouragement. How many have heard of a guy called Smith Wigglesworth? You ever heard of him? Do you know, he didn't begin his healing ministry until he was 48 years of age. He was a plumber up until then. Who's ever heard of Ray Kroc? Anybody heard of Ray Kroc? Okay, who's heard of McDonald's? Ray Kroc, listen to this, was 52 when he initiated the expansion of McDonald's. Who's heard of Sam Walton? Sam Walton was 43 when he opened his first actual Walmart. George, the heavyweight crown. Don't tell me you're too old. C.S. Lewis began writing the Chronicles of Narnia at the age of 51. J.R.R. Tolkien began writing Lord of the Rings at the age of 45. Come on, you know, I think of Henry Ford. He incorporated the Ford Motor Company at the age of 40. Morgan Freeman was 43 when he hit the big screen. Mary Kay Ash started Mary Kay Cosmetics at the age of 45. Come on, don't tell me you're too old. Don't tell me there's no room for you. Look at these people doing great things in their day. Ronald Reagan was in his 50s when he started his real career as a politician. Vince Lombardi was 45 when he took the head coaching job of the Green Bay Packers. Teddy Roosevelt was the youngest man ever to hold office at the age of 43. Michelangelo was 40 when he did the celebrated sculpture of Moses and continued working until he died at the age of 89. Leonardo da Vinci was in his 40s when he did the Last Supper and his 50s when he completed the Mona Lisa. Claude Monet was in his 60s when he did the water lily paintings. Don't tell me you're too old. Don't tell me there's no room for creativity. There's room for everybody. Neil Armstrong was 16 days shy of his 40th stepped on the moon, July 20, 1969. How many remember the day Neil Armstrong stepped on the moon? How many remember? Put your hand in the air. Young people, look, fossils all over the building. So I'm reading this and I'm thinking, God, I want to be that person. I want to pastor a church where everybody sees there's room for everybody. That there's room for everybody to bring something to the kingdom of God. I'm reading through this and I'm thinking, at the age of 85, he's still got the strength of a 40-year-old. What is the key to that? How many want to be a Caleb? I mean, how many want to have that Caleb spirit? Be that kind of person where you're still taking mountains. You're still young. You're still willing. You're still vigorous. Amen? How many want to be that? Man, I sure do. So I'm looking through this and I think there's a few keys to his strength. Number one, look at verse 7. He goes, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. He was 40 when his senior pastor sent him into the promised land to bring back a battle plan how they could take this land. In other words, Moses, his leader, sent him to bring back a plan how to do this. And here's the first key. If you're going to have the spirit of Caleb, you better plan your battles. You better make sure that you don't go fighting battles that God never asked you to fight. I see people all the time and they get offended for somebody else's offense and they fight someone else's battle that God never asked them to fight, and you know, and they lose all their strength to things that God never asked them to do. And then when the kingdom battle comes from them, the tank is empty. They got nothing left. And now there's a kingdom battle, but all their strength is already gone. I'm the world's most curious person. I listen to everybody else's conversations. I begin sitting at dinner, talking to somebody, and while that's happening, I could be listening to what somebody else is saying. If there's a party in my neighborhood and I wasn't invited, I want to know, why wasn't I invited? I'll just crash the party. Matter of fact, I can still quote credit card numbers that people on a phone were ordering something over the phone using their credit card. I listen. I'm the world's busiest listener to everything. My son was playing soccer. He's very good at it, and his team were on the field, and I'm sitting on the bleachers here. I'm talking to one of the dads on the team, and we're just loving being there watching the game. But I'm listening to one dad talk to another dad. So I'm looking, cheering for the team, talking to the dad, but down here, there's a dad talking to the other dad. And he goes, you won't believe what our pastor is asking us to do now. How many know he's got my attention? Number one, am I his pastor? And he goes, our pastor is asking us, the men in this church, to give more money so we can build a bigger parking lot. He goes, can you believe how insensitive he is? He ought to just be glad in this global financial crisis that we come to church. He ought to just be glad that we give anything. But don't worry, I've got a petition. And I'm going around to all the men in our church, asking them to sign it, telling the pastor to back off and stop asking for more money. You see, that's when the spirit of slap gets on me. And I want to lay hands on that brother. Because, yeah, I do understand it is a global financial, but just maybe that pastor's thinking, yeah, things are tough, but the church has the answers. And we got to make room for more people, which is really what all that's about. And here he is fighting against a kingdom battle rather than fighting for the kingdom battle. Can I encourage us? Let's be really careful about getting up involved in things that God never asked us to get involved in. Let's save our strength to do what God's called us to do in the house of God. Serve the vision of God in Jesus' name. Come on, someone say amen. A church like this, there are cheaper churches to go to. I mean, a church with no vision is not asking for anything. Come on, someone say amen. You know, you got no vision, you're not, but a church like this, it's got vision. It's doing great things for God. So how many know the ask is on? But that's because you belong to a house that believes that the church is the hope of the world, that we can make a difference and we're building things for the Lord. Come on. And you got to learn how to make sure you fight the right kind of battles in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Turn to the person next to you and say, relax, he's talking to me, not you. It's all good. Here's the second one. It says, I was sent by Moses to spy out the land. Look at the next part of the verse. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions. In other words, you've got to have the courage to swim against the tide. Somebody name, how many spies were there that went into the promised land? Anybody know how many there were? There was 12. Somebody name the two spies that brought back the good report. What are their names? Joshua and Caleb. Somebody name the 10 spies that brought back the negative report. Nobody remembers them because nobody builds a critic. Their names are in the Bible. We don't know who they are. And they were negative. And they brought back, but he goes, I brought back a report according to what I believe. I don't care what 10 out of 12 say. I don't care what popular opinion is. I don't care what the majority say. I brought back a report into what I believe. I remember God getting us out of Egypt. I remember the river turning into blood. I remember the frogs, the locusts, the boils, the angel of death. I remember walking through the Red Sea, waving at the fish. I remember going out the other side. I remember the pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night. I remember the Lord putting water out of the rock. I remember matter falling from heaven every day. And if God can get us this far, he can take us the rest of the way. And I'm not going with the majority. I'm swimming against the tide. Come on. When a young girl walked into our church, she was 17 years of age and full-blown HIV. She was pregnant. And she goes, Pastor, I hear your church prays for the sick. I said, yeah, we do. I said, what's wrong? And she had a little baby in her tummy. She was quite pregnant. I said, what's up? She goes, I've got full-blown HIV. She goes, would you pray for someone like me? I said, of course we would. And we prayed for her. I didn't ask her how she got it. I didn't even care. All that matters is she has an encounter with God. And I prayed with her. And she goes, thank you, Pastor. And she came back the next Sunday. She goes, you know, I'm feeling better. My immune system's feeling good. And she came back the next Sunday. She goes, honestly, I don't know what's going on, but I'm feeling healthier. And I said, she goes, I'm going to go to the doctor and ask him to do another report. And the doctor, of course, said, it's incurable, full-blown HIV. She didn't want a baby to have it. She didn't want to have it. And finally, she convinced the doctor to do some tests. And she came back and she showed me the medical report, the before and the after. It is documented. I wouldn't say it if I couldn't back it up. I showed it to one of our doctors and he cried because I've never seen a HIV medical report. But on the first one, it actually has 12 areas of assessment. And in every area, HIV, present, 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 present. The next one, 12 areas of assessment, every area, absent, 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 absent. Come on, you got to have the courage to swim against the tide. What man says is impossible. All things are possible with God. You got to have the courage to swim against the tide when it comes to money. It's funny when people go to church sometimes, they go, the church is just after your money. I've never heard someone say that when they walk into a casino. You're just after my money. Amen? I mean, it takes no faith to be poor. Have the tide that you are blessed to be a blessing. One of the best ways to help the poor is don't be one of them. Amen. Have the courage to, let's believe God for the supernatural. Let's believe God for miracles. Let's believe God for the church to be strong and vibrant and healthy in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to the person next to you and say, that's for the people behind us. All right, number three, look at this. Talk about the spirit of Caleb. Look what it says in verse 8. But my brothers who went up with me made the people's hearts melt with fear. Hey, not everybody who's with you is necessarily with you. My brothers who went up with me, 10 of them, they brought back a negative report. Some people are so negative, if you put them in a dark room, they develop. The optimist says there's light at the end of the tunnel, and the pessimist says, yep, it's an oncoming train. Hey, my brothers who went with me made the people's hearts melt with fear. You got to know the power of negativity. And you got to know what negativity will do. It'll suck the life out of you. It'll take the strength right out of your being. Come on, someone say amen. You know, I love to run. I used to run all these half marathons, and my wife has had this heart to do this women's transition home. And so I decided that I would actually run in this rock and roll half marathon to raise money to help put some finances to help build this transition home that my wife wanted to build. And so it's on a Sunday morning, and it's 13.1 miles. And then I was going to go from running the rock and roll half marathon and preach three times, twice Sunday morning, one Sunday night. That is called stupid. And so I decided I was going to do it. Now, every Wednesday, I prepare my sermons, and I've done it for decades. Wednesday's my day to study, to get my message from the Lord. And I've never once in all my life ever walked into a pulpit on a Sunday morning and not had a prepared sermon. And this Wednesday before the Sunday, I'm praying and I get nothing from God. I said, God, I need a sermon. I'm running in the rock and roll half marathon, and then I'm walking straight into the church to preach. And the Lord said, Steve, he calls me that because that's my name. See, if he said Fred, I wouldn't, who's Fred? But he goes, Steve, if you trust me, I will give you the sermon while you run. I said, God, that sounds really good. There's only one problem with that. I will be concentrating on breathing. I won't have a computer and a concordance and a Bible. I'm just going to be running. Boom, give it to me now. He goes, I'm not giving it to you. You trust me. So I did what all good faith preachers do. I got a microwave sermon. You know the ones you've preached before and you reheat it? And he said, you can preach that, or if you trust me, I'll give it to you while you run. Now, here's what a rock and roll half marathon looks like. It's 13 miles, 13.1 miles, and every mile there's a stage built with a rock and roll band. It's kind of cool. And they're just playing rock and roll music, and you run. But every half mile on the mile, there's a local cheerleading squad from the local colleges and universities. So there are 13 rock and roll bands, and there are 13 cheerleading squads that actually you come across. Half a mile cheerleader, mile rock and roll band, 1.5 mile cheerleaders, 2 miles for the whole 13. It's pretty cool, to tell you the truth. So the gun goes off, and I'm sweating this. I am anxious. I don't have a sermon. And I remember that it goes off, and I start running, and a mile or two into it, I'm going, God, I need a message. God, I need a message. And then I'm in a 3 miles, 4 miles into it, 5 miles into it, and I still got nothing. And I said, God, you are stressing me out. And then all of a sudden, I found myself listening, wanting to hear the music. As I got closer to the next rock and roll band, I could feel the bass and the rhythm, and I found myself getting a bit into the groove of the band, and I felt there was a bit of a pep in my step, and I'm going, rock on! And I felt myself get some energy from the music. It lifted me. It energized me. And then it occurred to me the power of praise and worship and how powerful that is. It can lift you. I said, that's good. And then of course, I'm running, and, you know, maybe 10 miles into this, there's all the cheerleaders every mile, having a half mile. And how many know you can't look weak in front of the cheerleaders? Like, they're just cheering with the little pom-poms. Yeah, you can do it. Inside, I'm like, dear God, I don't think I'm going to make this. But in front of them, it's... And then this thought, encouragement will get you to go further than you think you could have gone. And then, but I'm a good old Assemblies of God pastor. I need three points. So I tuck in behind this Marine. Now, this Marine would have been enough that he was running, but he had a 40-pound backpack on him as well. I wanted to trip him. And he had he's a pace marker, and he's got this thing saying, you know, stay with him, and you'll finish this marathon in 2 hours. So I said, man, that's a good pace for me. I didn't think I'd do it that quick. So I tucked in behind him, but how many know I listened to everything? So I'm listening to him talk to another guy who's running with him. He's going, you won't believe what my wife did to me and my family, and we're getting divorced, and our lawyers, and it was just like, you know, Charlie Brown, wah, 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 wah. And then the other guy starts talking to the Marine. Well, that's nothing. You won't believe what my business partner did, and we're in a lawsuit, and it's millions of dollars. And as I kept, I was running behind him, and I'm listening to him, and I felt all of my strength leave me. It wasn't until I pulled away from them and got away from that conversation that my strength came back. And I want to encourage you, if you want to have the spirit of a Caleb, you better know the power of negativity, and it will drain you, and you've got to learn how to stay away from that voice and cut that voice off. Come on, someone say amen. Turn to the person next to you and say, relax, that was for me, that wasn't for you, it's all good. Here's the next thing, number four. Look at the last part of this verse. I, however, follow the Lord my God wholeheartedly. That's what you got to do. You want to have the spirit of Caleb. You got to keep your heart in what you do. Amen? And the longer you've been doing it, the more you've got to resist routine. The more you've got to resist same-o, same-o. You've got to keep your heart in what you do. Here's the thought. If little things start to bother you, it's a sign your world is shrinking. Some people get so territorial, don't they? They get upset about, this is my grass, and this is my property, and your property starts here. Don't you be mowing my grass. And they start fighting over little things like that when there's a whole world to save. Come on, someone say amen. If little things are bothering you, it's a sign your world's shrinking. We got to keep our heart in what we do. You know, he comes into the house of God. First time you come into a church like this, I mean, dear God, look at this place. How amazing is this? And you walk in here and it's air conditioned and it's got heating, it's got seats, comfortable seats. It's got beautiful screens, amazing worship. And you walk in here, oh, but you've been here long enough and you can start going, I'm not too sure Pastor had his A game today. I think the music's a little too loud. Lights are a little too bright. And you start actually losing the heart of the wonder of what the Lord's given you. You can do it in a marriage. You can do it with your children. You can do it in your job. Come on, someone say amen. Got to keep your heart in what you do. Come here, check this one out. I love this one. Verse 9. It says, so that day Moses swore to me, the land which your feet have walked will be an inheritance for that of your children forever. You can't have where you haven't been. That day Moses swore to me, everywhere your feet have walked, God will give it to you. In other words, you can't have where you haven't been. You want a successful business? You got to make sure you put in the hard work. You've got to be willing to go there. You've got to make the calls. You got to build the contacts. You got to build the relationships. You want to have a successful marriage? You've got to put some effort into the marriage. Amen. Things like, oh, that was a loud amen from the girls. Hey, men, can I get a hoorah?
Hoorah!
I love that sound. Hey, truth is, my wife, it's a funny thing, but she loves it when I do the dishes. Now, personally, that thought would never occur to me in a million years. But if I want to have a happy marriage this November, we'll be celebrating our 32nd wedding anniversary. Amen. We're expecting our first grandbaby next month. I'm so excited. But can I tell you something? If I actually want to have a blessed marriage, I've got to be willing to go there. You can't have where you haven't been. Come on, someone say amen. You want to have successful finances, you better be disciplined. What you respect is what you attract. You want to be successful in life, consider an education. Consider putting in the hard work and the effort. You can't have where you haven't been. Amen. Here's the last thought. I got to close. Watch this. I love this one. Look at verse 10. Now then, just as the Lord has promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses, while Israel moved around the desert. Here I am today, 85 years old. Here's the thought. The Lord, just as the Lord has promised, he has kept me alive. Here's the thought. God's promises will keep you alive. See, sad to say, and this is known as a reality, that when people hit the age of retirement and they retire, often right after that, their health really deteriorates. And the quality of their life really goes down. I think we stop living with vision. If our only goal was to get to a place of retirement, we still got to have something to live for. Come on, you've always got to make, God's promises will keep you alive. I was 17 when I gave my life to Jesus. And I'll never forget it because my mother and father were very, very faithful to the church they were brought up in. But for me, it didn't do anything for me. For me, it was like bells and smells. That's what it was. And so I stopped going at a young age, but my mother and father attended church every Sunday, never missed one. And yet they were both alcoholics. And then what happened was my mother and father both got sober through Alcoholics Anonymous. And I'll be forever grateful to AA because it sure made a difference in our family. But then when I, at the age of 17, gave my life to Christ, my dad was kind of a little concerned about the kind of church I was going to because he wanted me to go to the church he was a part of. And I remember he came to check it out because he was worried about his son. And then someone preached a message that day. Now you got to understand, my uncle is a Monsignor in this church. My dad was in seminary studying to be a priest before he met my mother. Thank God he met my mother, or I wouldn't be here. And so he had some deep connections. But he said to me when he came to church, he goes, "Son, I never knew you could be born again. I never knew that you could know God in such a way and have a relationship with Jesus that you could be free of your addictions and know God in this kind of a way." He goes, "I'm going to devote the rest of my life helping people get free of their addictions. And I'm going to start a born-again, spirit-filled, AA, GA, get whatever the addiction is. I'm going to take the stick that the devil used to beat me with, and I'm going to beat the devil, and I'm going to help any man, any woman, any person get free of these addictions." And all over the world, my mother and father have started recovery support programs in Siberia, Hillsong Church in Australia. It's a recovery program my parents started. In our church in Virginia Beach, my parents started it. All over Australia on national television, people have interviewed them and they have started recovery programs around the world. And my mother went to be with the Lord. My father kept on going. He said, "I made God a promise, and God promised me as long as I'm alive, I'm going to help people get free of their addictions." My dad's getting older and older, and I'm now in America pastoring Wave Church, and I get a phone call. "Steve, you need to come home. Your father's dying." So I spoke to the doctor. I said, "How bad is it really? My family can be a little bit emotional and sensational. Is he really that bad?" I said, "Steve, he won't be alive when you get here." So I get on the plane, fly from the east coast of the United States to Sydney, Australia, get off the plane and drive up to the hospital. I wasn't expecting him even to be alive. And there he is sitting up in bed and he's smiling. And my dad and I are very close, you got to know. And I looked at him, I said, "Hey, you're supposed to be dead." And he laughed. He goes, "I couldn't help it, son. I promise God, as long as I'm alive, I'm going to spend the rest of my life helping people get free of addictions." And I could hear the doctor telling my family, telling your brothers and sisters that he's not going to make it. I didn't have the ability to tell him, "Oh, yes, I am," but I knew I was going to make it. And he goes, "I kept thinking about all these people and I'm not done yet." I said, "Dad, you're awesome. Well done. Love you, Dad." 2 years later, another phone call. "Steve, you need to come home. Your father's dying." I'm going, "Really? You think I'm going to fall for this again?" And the head doctor, the registrar of the whole hospital, is a friend of mine. I said, "Would you do me a favor? Would you go check out and see? I've already flown over once for his funeral. Can you just make, is he really that bad?" And he goes down and checks. He goes, "Steve, multiple organ failure, congestive heart failure. He will not be alive when you get here." All right. I get on a plane. I'm flying to Sydney. I get off the plane, drive out to the hospital. And not only is my dad not in the bed, he's sitting in a chair eating a boiled egg. I said, "Right, Dad, that's twice I've flown over for..." If you're not dead the next time I come, I will kill you myself. He started to laugh. And then he cried. He says, son, you don't understand. There's Graham and there's Julie. He started naming all these people that he's believing will get set free that are still bound up. Son, I wanted to go and be with your mother, but I just, God's promises is what keeps me alive. I said, Dad, you're my hero. I love you. You're incredible. Well, about 2-3 years ago, I'm actually in Australia, not to attend his funeral, just to visit. And my dad says, son, you're preaching in my church tonight. Now, he doesn't pastor a church, but he thinks he does. And he told the pastor, my son will be preaching in church. We have a special meeting. It wasn't even a night there was church on. And my dad filled that building. There were people out the windows. And he goes, son, everybody I know that isn't free of their addiction will all be there tonight. And you're coming and you're preaching and you better be good. No pressure, Dad. I'm on holidays, by the way. And he's told everybody I'm coming, so I have to come. And so, all right, Dad. And my dad's there. And this church, I'm not kidding you, was packed to the rafters. And so I said to them, many of you here tonight are here. And the only reason my father is still alive today is because of you. I've twice flown over to his funeral, but what kept him alive was you're not free. And I pointed to my dad. He was sitting there. Now he's really elderly. He's really frail. He's in a wheelchair. He's got an oxygen tube and a bottle in his wheelchair. He's got a nurse that's looking after him 24/7. I said, that man right there, he's my hero. That's my dad. And at the end of the night, many, if not most of the people that he brought to church that night gave their life to Christ. And I'll never forget my dad wheeling up in his wheelchair, pushing himself out, using the last bit of strength he could muster, with the oxygen tube still hanging out of his nose, and puts his arms around me and says, well done, son. I'm proud of you. You did good. His own nurse gave her life to Jesus that night. And he looked at me and he says, goodbye, son. And I knew what he was saying. It wasn't just like, see you later. But everything that was going on, I went, what? And he got in his wheelchair and he went home. He lives a mile from the church. And I get a phone call, Steve, you need to come. Your father's dying. And I got over to the house and my dad was slipping in and out of consciousness. He's now 79 years of age, a very frail man. I said, Dad, it's me, it's Steve. Can you hear me? If you can hear me, squeeze my hand. And my dad squeezed my hand. I said, Dad, go to heaven now. Be with Mum. You've won so many people to Jesus, and God kept you alive to see these people saved and see them free of their addictions. And many of them have given their life to Christ. Dad, you can go to heaven dying as a soul winner. And he breathed his last breath and went to heaven. Don't tell me there's no room for you. Don't tell me there isn't more that God has for you. And the only thing that kept my father alive was the promises of God. I've come to tell somebody here today, come on, God's promises will keep you alive. You'll keep on going. Come on, we need some Calebs. We need some Calebs. Would the Calebs rise up? Would the Calebs stand up? Would the Calebs get up? Would the Calebs lead? Would the Calebs get above mediocrity? Would the Calebs build the house of God? Come on, we need everybody. Get on your feet, everybody. Come on, give God praise for the word. Come on, you can do better than that. Give God praise for the word. Thank you, Lord.
This concludes the teaching. We pray that you are encouraged and strengthened. For more information on James River resources, please visit jamesriver.org.